The Lord be with you.
A
reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one of whom I said, 'A man is coming after me who ranks ahead of me because he existed before me.' I did not know him, but the reason why I came baptizing with water was that he might be made known to Israel." John testified further, saying, "I saw the Spirit come down like a dove from heaven and remain upon him. I did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'On whomever you see the Spirit come down and remain, he is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' Now I have seen and testified that he is the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord. How many of you have read the Bible from cover to cover? See, you show your hands. Holy moly, we're in trouble. That's pathetic. We have a few, good. But what about the rest of you? Get your Bible, start the very beginning, read one chapter a day. You'll find there are parts of the Bible where you just can't put it down. It's better than any soap opera, any TV series. There is sex, murder, violence, incest. It's all there. And it's important that we know what that story is because it is our story. It is about us. It's what God wants us to know about ourselves and about God. Now, every Sunday when we come to Mass, we have four readings. We have an Old Testament, for the most part, a responsorial psalm, which is from the Old Testament, usually a piece of a letter from Paul, and then a gospel reading. So we do get scripture every week, but it's important that we read the whole Bible because a lot of what's in the Bible we never hear at church. And again, it is our story. And we keep reading it, we keep listening to it because we learn things from it. Probably because we're relatively familiar, at least with Sunday readings, we don't keep saying, "Oh, what? Oh, wow. Really?" Because there's a lot of shocking stuff in the scripture. And it's shocking stuff about us, it's about God, and we need to be shocked. So today we've got four readings, and you know, we've heard these before, again, probably every single year. But do we stop to think, what are these readings trying to tell us? What are these readings trying to get out of us? How are they trying to grab our attention so that we can better live the gospel? So let's go through them. The first reading comes from Isaiah. Okay, who's Isaiah? He was a prophet, a great prophet. In Israel, there were many prophets. In fact, many prophets would band together in a guild. You know, just like in the Middle Ages, they had workers' guilds. Well, they had prophetic guilds. And Isaiah was one of the great prophets. And the purpose of the prophets was to tell the people, turn back to the Lord. You have sinned, you're doing wrong, turn back to the Lord. That was the role of the prophets. Now, how does that affect us? Well, we're prophets too. Just like Isaiah, we are prophets. We're called to say to other people, you're going the wrong way. In order for us to do that, we got to make sure we're listening to God and to other prophets, because we have a very serious role to play in salvation. In baptism, every single one of us was anointed to be a prophet. Now, many of the prophets met a horrible death because people did not want to hear what they had to say. Doesn't matter. We're called to be prophets. Are we doing that? Are we doing that? And in the reading from Isaiah, God says to Isaiah, "You are my servant. You are my servant. We are servants of God too. Another word that's often used is slave. We are slaves of God. So we're called to do what God tells us to do. If God says you got to go out into the world, you got to proclaim the gospel, you got to make sure that the light of the world is seen, then that's what we've got to do. So the question is, how well are we doing it? The responsorial psalm says, Lord, I've come to do your will. Notice it says, your will, not my will, not your will, not the will of the United States of America, but God's will. And we know what God's will is. It comes to us from Scripture. Love God, love our neighbor as ourselves. It comes through the teachings of the church. These are not man-made rules and regulations and moral and ethical reasonings. They come from God. So we are called to be obedient to the will of God. Now, you probably don't hear that word much, obey or obedient nowadays, because we all want to be free. We want to be able to do our own thing. Well, if you look in our own country, look where freedom to do our own will has led us. Look where it has led the world. So again, as prophets, we're called to say there's only one will that we are called to follow, and it's God, not mine, not yours. And there's an old saying that goes like this: do God's will, and God will do your will. But the first part is do God's will. And if we do God's will, we're going to find out that that's our will too, really. It's built into us. So if we do God's will, we're going to find that all the pieces of the puzzle come together. Doesn't mean we're going to have a happy, carefree life, have everything we want. In fact, we may say, geez, I've got too much. I got to get rid of it so I can do God's will better. But we're called to do God's will. Then we have the reading from Paul. Paul, a great apostle. He's an apostle with a capital A. The apostles were a particular group of people chosen by God who had some kind of encounter with Christ, with the risen Christ. And Paul did. Paul did. He had an encounter with Christ, and the word apostle means one who is sent. Well, are we people who are sent by God like Paul to proclaim the gospel? Yeah. We're apostles with a small a. But Jesus, if you remember, before he ascended to the Father, he said, sending out the disciples, he said, go out into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Can it be any clearer? We are sent to go out into the world and proclaim the gospel. How well are we doing it? How well are we doing it? Do we go to our friends and neighbors where we're comfortable perhaps? Or do we go to people who we don't know, who may be a little bit frightening to us, but we're willing to take the good news of salvation, which is true freedom, true freedom. Are we willing to take that gospel message out to them? John the Baptist, the last of the great prophets, the forerunner of the Lord, he's in our reading from the Gospel of John. He was sent to prepare the way of the Lord, to make smooth the path of the Savior. And what was his message? Repent, just like all the prophets. Repent. You have turned away from the Lord. Turn back. Ask for forgiveness for your sins. Now, he was a wonderful prophet. And how was he rewarded by Herod Antipas? He had his head cut off. That's what happens to good prophets often. And yet, he was faithful to being a prophet. He went into the world, into the desert. He drew people to him to say to them, look, you've gone the wrong way. Do you think we need to do that today in our society, correct our society? Do you think there's some bad things going on in our society, in our United States? I would say so. There are laws that allow people to kill one another. Now, that's not bad. I don't know what is, but that's our American culture. And we, because we are part of our American culture, but more importantly, because we are children of God, we are sons and daughters of the Most High, we are called to shed a light on the evil, to show the good of God, to attract people to God so that there can be changes in our culture. And that's what John the Baptist did at his time. There were bad things going on in his culture, and he tried to make some changes. So he proclaimed the good news of the Messiah. And as it says twice in that gospel reading, he testified when the Messiah came. That is, he gave witness. He witnessed to the world. That's what we're called to do. Now, the word witness in Greek is martyr. That's what that word means, martyr, witness. We're called to be witnesses, to be martyrs to the truth. No matter what happens to us in witnessing to the truth, we're called to testify, to give witness that there's one God, one Savior, Jesus Christ, and if we follow in his path, we will be saved. And if we follow in his path, we will bring other people into the work of salvation that God is working on with us now. But we have to keep testifying to the truth. We need to keep witnessing to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So, you know, here we have four readings, beautiful readings that are supposed to shake us up. And maybe we feel a little bit guilty. That's not bad. A little shame that we're so focused on our own little activities, our families, our jobs, and this, that, and the other thing. And so we neglect what is most important in our lives, the gospel of salvation, that we have been given as a wonderful gift so that we can be filled with joy and fervor and zeal, and be so filled with fervor and zeal that every single moment of the day we're thinking, how can I proclaim this? How can I testify to Jesus Christ? How can I share my faith? How can I tell people, especially the poor in spirit, the poor economically, who live in darkness and despair, how can I tell them that there is a wonderful God? And how can I tell them, not just in words, but in deeds? How can I share my life, my time, my talent, my treasure, with those who are living in despair and darkness? So we come each week to remember that's our story. It's in the Bible. And if we keep reading it, things are going to keep popping out at us. And many of them are going to convict us of being lazy Christians, of being slothful, of not taking seriously the commandments, the commission God has given each of us to first and foremost and last proclaim the gospel in everything we say and everything we do. If we don't do that, we're not being faithful to God. We're not being good disciples. It's not about what I can do for myself, what I have earned, so forth and so on. It's rather, God, you are everything in my life. I am your servant. I am your prophet. I am your slave. And I want to be a good servant. And I want to make sure everything I do and say is focused on you. So I think we can agree that we have lots of work to do. And that's not a bad thing. If we keep our focus on Christ every single day, we're going to be learning more. We're going to see more of our weaknesses and our sinfulness. We're going to have an opportunity to confess our sins. We're going to have an opportunity again and again and again to show how much we love God and our neighbor as ourselves. So with God, everything is possible. But we have free will, so we have to say, yes, Lord, this is what I want to do. And every day recommit ourselves. Again, what began in baptism, when we are anointed to be priests, prophets, and kings, to take seriously our faith as Christians, as disciples, so that one day we can climb that cross right up into heaven and find that other people have joined us because we have taken the time to witness to them about Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So we're going to be nourished. We've already been nourished with the Word of God. We're going to be nourished with the body and blood of Christ. And God gives these things to us, not so we can go out and say, well, I got my duty done for Sunday, but rather so that we can say, okay, I've got a new beginning. I've got new energy, new zeal, new power in my life because of Christ. How am I going to use it to proclaim the gospel? So as you go forth, think of how you're challenged to do that. Talk with one another. Get a buddy who's going to hold you accountable and you're going to hold them accountable. Just think of what might happen if we really focused on our faith journey, made that number one. Think of the things that would change not only in our own lives, but in the world around us. So let's pray that we will be the faithful disciples, the faithful prophets of God that we were created to be, people like the Apostle Paul sent out into the world to proclaim the good news of salvation.